touched me with this verse out of Malachi a couple of weeks ago. I thought this was awesome. It says here that then those who feared the Lord spoke to one another, and the Lord listened and heard them. So a book of remembrance was written before him, and those who feared the Lord and those who meditate on his name, they shall be mine, says the Lord of hosts. On that day, I make them my jewels. I thought that was pretty precious. We're the jewels of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's pretty sweet.
Mm-hmm.
That was pretty cool. Well, this morning, yeah, I do. Let me find it again. It's Malachi 3, chapter 16 and 17-ish, somewhere in there. But I was really touched by the Lord with that because, you know, we're his treasure. You know, we matter to Jesus. I mean, we might just look at ourselves like a bunch of, whatever. But he cares. And he loves each one of us. And I like a verse out of Zephaniah 3:17 where it says he's rejoicing over us with singing. That's pretty precious, really. Like, he's singing about you. No matter how you feel about yourself, you look in the mirror and say, oh my gosh, come on. But the Lord adores and cherishes his bride like no man on earth can. But before we start, I have a verse that I wanted to start with this morning because to me this is really important. Like, when you come to look in Scripture and you want to study from the Word of God, it's good to have your heart really opened up and tuned in to the Holy Spirit. So here's the verse. Acts chapter 16, verse 14. Now a certain woman named Lydia heard us. She was a seller of purple from the city of Thyatira, who worshipped God. The Lord opened her heart to heed the things spoken by Paul. I think that's pretty sweet. And as we go to prayer, let's claim that and ask the Holy Spirit to open up the eyes of our heart and our understanding to comprehend Scripture. Because only the Lord really can open our hearts to see the things of God. And it's an unseen thing that takes place, but when the Lord shows you Jesus from Scripture, it's wonderful. And that's, you know, I don't want to waste our time today. I want to see the Lord. I want to receive from the Lord. I want to be filled with the fullness of Christ. So let's pray. And Lord, that is our prayer. That's the cry of our heart. Lord, like Tammy said, this world seems like it's spinning out of control. But Lord, that spinning that we sense is really that we're on your wheel. And your gentle hands are fashioning us into vessels of honor with a precious treasure of the Lord Jesus Christ within ourselves. And we trust you for that, Lord. And Lord, we ask you, like you did for Lydia 2,000 years ago, or however long ago it was, that you would open up our hearts. Lord, only you can open up our hearts to receive the things that come from God. So Lord, we trust you for that, and we ask for that in Jesus' name. Amen. So this is Sunday, August 28, 2022. 2,000 years ago, the Lord opened up Lydia's heart, and I believe that he wants to open up our hearts today in a fresh way to see Jesus. So, I got an outline, but I don't know if I'm going to make it through the outline. It just seems to be too much, but, you know, I'm going to just try to get through it, and I won't go too long, so. But the outline is this. It's 3 points. It's Paul, the Apostle Paul. What was his message to the world and to the church? And then the second part of the outline is the way of God more accurately. And the way I'm going to say that is it's the exchanged life. These are big topics. I mean, like, they're like too much. But hopefully the Lord will help us get through some of it. And then the third thing is the gift of God, Jesus Christ, the bread of life. So in the book of Acts in the 9th chapter, when Paul was knocked off his high horse and fell to the ground, the Lord Jesus had the way of bringing all of us down and knocking us off our high horse, doesn't he? I mean, I think each one of us can attest to that. He stops us in our tracks. And that's what he did with the Apostle Paul. And you guys know all the background on Paul, so I won't get into all that. But Acts 9:4 says, "Then he fell to the ground, heard a voice saying to him, 'Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me?'" In verse 5, "And he said, 'Who are you, Lord?' Then the Lord said, 'I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting.'" It is hard for you to kick against the goats. I mean, it's a hard life before you see the Lord, Lord Jesus, as Lord. And I know each one of us, you know, because Paul really is a picture of the Christian with the treasure of Christ in it on earth. So, I like the question that Paul asked. So he was going about his business, you know, like being a Pharisee of Pharisees. You know, like really, like Paul was extremely intelligent. I really believe that he was probably a genius, you know, like on the level of earth. I mean, he did write 13 books in the Bible, so, you know, but I know that was by the power of God. But anyway, so he's just going about his business and working away, doing what he thought was a work for God. You know, he's just doing his thing, and he's going along, and you know what his thing was. He was persecuting the Church of God, and he was trying to put Christians in jail and kill them, and you know all the story of that. But, you know, he was supposing to preserve the law and protect the law and protect his religion and, you know, keep that honorable. He was trying to stop the work of Christ is what he was really doing. Page here. When by the grace of God, in verse 3, "And suddenly a light shone around him from heaven. He fell to the ground and said, 'Who are you, Lord?'" I love that. You know, he sincerely, like when he realized this is something divine is happening. There's light. I'm laying here on the ground. "Who are you, Lord?" And that's what Paul said. So many years later, Paul's writing to the church at Philippi. I don't know how many years later because I didn't have time to, you know, like figure it out. But it's probably in the 30s, 30 years later, maybe 40 years later, whatever. But and he was in jail. And he wrote a letter to the church at Philippi. And he wrote in Philippians chapter 3, verse 7 through 10. He says, "But what things were gained to me, these I have counted as a loss for Christ. Yet indeed I count all things lost for the excellence of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and count them as rubbish that I may gain Christ. And being found in him, not having my own righteousness, which is from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness which is from God by faith." And verse 10, "That I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings." He started out with Jesus asking, "Who are you, Lord?" He went from "Who are you, Lord?" to the knowledge of Christ Jesus, my Lord. He started out by asking Jesus, "Who are you?" 35 or 40 years later, he's saying, "My Lord." He knew Jesus because he asked, "Who are you? I want to know you." And that's what Paul, you know, I think that's pretty cool, like if you really kind of like let that soak in. It went from, "I don't know you. I know there's a light. I know something divine's happening. I don't know you. Who are you, Lord?" But now, "My Lord. You're my Lord." And I think that's pretty sweet. And so 40 years later, like, he knew Jesus, but he was ready to go forward, even though he was in jail, ready to be killed for his faith in Christ. He still, the cry of his heart was, "I want to know him more." So, which I think really leads us to the fact that He's way better than we think. He's way bigger. There's way more to this creator of the universe than we would ever imagine. Our hearts can't imagine it. But the Lord Jesus, he wants to continue to reveal himself. And we see that in the Apostle Paul. You know, at the end of his life, he still wanted to know the Lord. And I ask that the Lord would do that work in my life, that I would have a hunger for him and him alone, just to know him, because that is where the fruit, and that is where the power, and that is where the peace, and that is where the strength comes. See, from the beginning to the end of Paul's life, his pursuit was to know the Lord Jesus Christ more. And I think that's pretty awesome. Even Paul the Apostle, he just wanted to know the Lord more. I find it amazing. You know, like you would think, you know, he's like the apostle of the church, writing 13 letters in the Bible, or 13 books of the Bible. And his heart's cry is, I want more of the Lord Jesus. See, Paul tasted something of the Lord that I think that we, you know, that we are called to taste. That we are called to and take Jesus from, who are you, Lord, to my Lord. Whom I, you know, like a heart that just loves the Lord Jesus above all things. So Jesus, you know, like, anyway, I mean, like, he wrote 13 books in the Bible, and he was still pursuing the Lord Jesus to know him more. And I think that's a big wow factor. And I think, like, I've been a Christian for 4 years. Well, I really believe I probably saw the Lord when I was 3. Really, that's my earliest recollection of the things of God. But most of my life, you would never know it. You would say, wow, that guy, what? But see, once the seed of Christ goes into you, it's going to produce after its own coming. We learn that from the book of Genesis. Every seed-bearing plant produces after its own kind. And when the seed of Christ goes into a human heart, it will bring forth Christ. You will see Jesus. You will know Jesus. It might take a little longer than we want, but you know, it's going to happen. So I'm going to look at a few verses of how Jesus used Apostle Paul and the message of the Apostle Paul. And this is going to be like something that, you know, there's nothing new. You know, there's the Lord Jesus Christ. So let me go through some of these books. The book of Acts begins with Luke referring to the Gospel of Luke. Of the former account, O Theophilus, this is Acts chapter 1, verse 1. The former account I made, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began both to do and teach. So Luke is also the writer of the book of Acts. We know that. But the interesting thing is he's referring to the Gospel that he wrote. And he says there that Jesus began to do and teach. And he's continuing now through the book of Acts. So we know it is Jesus who does, right? And it is Jesus who teaches. So if you go through your Bible and you just follow those two things right there, you see the Lord, the actions of the Lord Jesus, and the teaching and the references to the amount of teaching. It's like I can just think of a lot of them right off the top of my head, but one of them, like, he saw the multitudes and he taught them. Jesus, by his Holy Spirit now, is still doing and teaching just like he did when he was on earth, by the Holy Spirit that dwells within us. If you ever learn anything, you don't get it from a man. You only learn truth from the Holy Spirit opening up your heart to receive it. That's the only way you will ever learn anything that's really true about God. You don't learn it from a man. We did not learn Jesus Christ from the Apostle Paul. The Lord Jesus Christ taught through the Apostle Paul. He is the teacher. He is the one that does and teaches. And that's what Luke is pointing out here in the very first verse of the book of Acts. See, it's Jesus who does and teaches. So Jesus is continuing the same ministry today. Paul, you know, Paul, everything Paul taught came directly from the Lord Jesus, and it went through the Apostle Paul. So it's pretty interesting, and this is kind of a bald statement, but I want you to kind of like think about it. You don't have to agree with me. But we're not an extension of Jesus. He's an extension of us. He extends through us with his word, with ministry. Everything that we do comes from him, but he goes through us because we're his body. You know? So it's Jesus himself throughout the whole book of Acts is doing the doing. He is doing the teaching. And he does it through his church. So it really should be called the Acts of the Lord Jesus Christ, not the Acts of the Apostles. Because if it's the Acts of the Apostles, we wouldn't still have the same fire burning today that we have. We would not care about the things of God, you know? So Paul's message, he wanted to know the Lord, so Paul taught that message. That's what Paul taught. Paul's message was to want to know the Lord, and Paul's message was simple. It is really simple, but it is so vast, it's vaster than the universe in reality. His message is Christ and him crucified. Throughout the whole book of Acts, if you follow those two things, Christ and him crucified, Paul's message was the Lord Jesus. It's the Lord Jesus' message. It came from the heart of God. This is what God wants mankind to know about the Lord Jesus, himself and him crucified. So Paul only proclaimed Christ. Paul preached one message, the Lord Jesus. Paul's purpose was the Lord Jesus' purpose. And the purpose was to strengthen the church. That was the purpose of the Apostle Paul teaching Christ and him crucified. The message is Christ. The purpose is to strengthen. Acts chapter 14, verse 21 and 22. And when they had preached, and the word preach simply means when they proclaimed Jesus, right? When they had preached the gospel to that city and made many disciples, they returned to Lystra, Iconium, and Antioch, strengthening the souls of the disciples, exhorting them to continue in the faith. See, we need today, and I don't want to say more than ever, because the condition of man has been the same since the fall of man. So we need in our personal lives, the world hasn't changed. It's always been bad. It's the world. It's a terrible place apart from Christ. But, you know, we need to be strengthened in our souls today. Just like these believers, these disciples of Christ, when Paul went with the message, you say, wait a minute, I'm already saved. I've already received the grace of God and truth. I've already been forgiven of all my sins, past, present, and future. I'm in Christ. That's true. But Paul knew that with all the disciples. He still preached Christ and him crucified. And that is the message that strengthens the church. That is the message. It's a relevant message. It always will be throughout all of eternity. The Lord Jesus and him crucified, shedding his blood and rising from the dead to set mankind free and to place us and baptize us into the body of Christ. That is the message. This world's crazy. It's always been crazy. America is shaking. I mean, I know you guys are awake. You're seeing what's happening. This country is shaking. It's teetering. We need to be strengthened with the simple message of Christ and him crucified. The world is shaking. But we need to be clinging to the message of the Lord Jesus Christ and him crucified. This is the message of Jesus through Paul. Acts chapter 14. He, opened the door of faith to the Gentiles. He, meaning Jesus, opened the door of faith to the Gentiles. And that's continuing to this day. The Lord Jesus is the one that opens the door of faith so that as this country's shaking, as America may be totally falling and collapsing, we need Jesus. We need this simple message, this of the pure grace of God, Christ and Him crucified. Acts 15:35, Paul and Barnabas also remained in Antioch, teaching and preaching the word of the Lord with the others also. Then after some days, Paul said to Barnabas, let us now go back and visit the brethren in every city where we have preached the word of the Lord. When they preach the word of the Lord, what is the word of the Lord? They preach Christ. They preach Him crucified. Let's see how they are all doing. So, you know, like to go back. And when Paul went back, what do you think he preached? I know what he preached. He preached Christ. That's all there is. That's why he said later in the book of Colossians, Christ is all. There's nothing else. That's what we need. The bread of life. Acts 17:2. Then Paul, as his custom was, he went into them, and for three Sabbaths he reasoned with them from the Scriptures, explaining and demonstrating that Christ had to suffer and rise again from the dead, and saying, this Jesus whom I preach to you is the Christ. That's Paul's message. One message. This Jesus is the Christ. Acts 17:4, and some of them were persuaded, referring to the Jews, and a great multitude of devout Greeks and not a few of the leading women joined Paul and Silas. When he preached the message of Christ and Him crucified, a great multitude of devout and Greek came to Christ. A few of the Jews believed. A few of those that were so set in their religious, you know, stupor, a few of them did believe also when they heard the message of Christ and Him crucified. This message is a message that is opposed Christ and Him crucified. It was opposed then. I mean, read the accounts. Religion hates this message. This message of Christ and Him crucified excludes all other religious messages. There's one Savior of mankind. There's one that shed His blood for mankind. This is the message. And I think the reason America's shaken, one of the reasons is we have freedom of religion. But really, I think our founders gave us freedom from religion. But freedom of religion is kind of a cesspool. And we're going to look at that in just a second. But, you know, like I said, religion hates this message. This message is totally opposed, the message of Christ and Him crucified. The world hates this message. The world hates this message. You go in a public square and start talking about the Lord Jesus hanging on a cross and shedding His blood to take away the sins of the world. And you know what will happen? They'll say, what an idiot. They'll call you an idiot. That's what they call Paul. They call him a babbler. And we're going to look at that. But anything is acceptable in our culture today. We can say anything. You can believe anything you want. You can believe you're a dog. You can believe, if you're a man, you can believe you're a woman. That's acceptable. But when you start preaching Christ and Him crucified, no. We got to stop that. They stoned Paul for that message. And it is the message of life. It is the message of hope. It is the message of all that we need for life. Is Christ and Him crucified. So if you preach Christ, look out. You're going to be opposed. It got Paul stoned. Eventually, it got Paul put to death. He got put to death for holding his religious view. They're going to start doing that in America, you'll see. Because they can't tolerate true salvation. They'll tolerate everything else. You You know, this message of Christ being crucified, it's not like, well, you know, to each his own. You believe that? That's cool. You can believe that if you want. You can do, yeah, you know, everything's great. You know, live and let live. Whatever will be, will be. Yeah, man, you know, whatever floats your boat, it's all good. But Christ and him crucified? No. That is not a popular message. But the Apostle Paul thought it was a popular message. In fact, he died with that message. He knew that was the message. Christ and him crucified is not a popular message in this world. It's sad to say, and I'm going to say this, it's not a popular message in the church today. If you look around at the church, this is not a popular message, what I'm saying, that all you need is the Lord Jesus Christ and him crucified. And that's all that God offers us. But that's all we need. And it's so vast and so amazingly wonderful. You know, like, you know, that's what the 13 books of the Bible are about. You know, they just expound on this one message that Paul preached. I mean, if you look at how the churches are caving in our day, and look at the weakness in the church today. You know, like if you look at how people are falling apart all around you. I mean, even Christians are so stressed out. They're so upset. You know, the world and the church are moving away from this wonderful message. The church is just falling apart. The rest of the people in this world, they're just falling apart too. I mean, everybody's on some kind of like drug, something to keep them sane, something to keep them, you know, trying to keep some kind of semblance of like trying to hang on to the things of this world. You know, it's an amazing thing. You know, in Acts chapter 17, we're going to look at something, and everybody knows the story of Mars Hill. But, you know, it is really sad to say that the church has become like the world in a lot of ways because of this uncomfortable message. You know, isn't that an old, tired message? Haven't they been saying that for 2 decades? Like, can't you move on to something a little more exciting than Christ and him crucified? I mean, that's the attitude in the church today. And it ought not be. We should be, Lord Jesus, thank you for shedding your blood for my sins. It's fresh to me today, just like the day I knew that I was a born-again believer in the Lord Jesus. It's the relevancy that we need in the church today. And like, if you really study through the book of Acts, you'll see the message was given to strengthen the church. And see, I think the weakness that we see in the church today is because the message is not going out. That, you know, that people are not adhering to the truth of the Lord Jesus is all. So in Acts chapter 17, 16, it says, now while Paul waited for them in Athens, his spirit was provoked within him when he saw the city that was given over to idols. Now, when his spirit was provoked within him, like, you know, he started to preach again. I mean, like, he's like, I gotta share this message. But I think in a lot of ways, the church today, our spirit, like, we're not moved by the idols that we see around us, especially in America. You know, like, I mean, like, if you think about, like, see, Athens was kind of like the hub of modern culture at the time when Paul was traveling around with this message of Christ and him crucified. And there's a lot of history that you can look into about Mars Hill and all that. But, you know, the Kenneth Weiss, the expanded translation is taken right from the Greek. He writes it this way. His spirit was constantly provoked and irritated in him. Like, Paul got agitated when he saw how far away that, and you know, there was a, in Athens, it was like the religious hub. There were Jews there, there was all the religions were there, and all the philosophers, and all the, you know, the people that had all these great new ideas about, you know, divinity and what's out there after you die and all these different things. It's kind of like, in my opinion, it's kind of like the New York City and the Los Angeles of the day, if you can put it that way, you know, like, you know, all the new trends, all the new things, the latest thing coming down the line, you know. But I just, and I don't mean this like in a guilt trip kind of way. There's no condemnation for those that are in Christ Jesus. You know, He took our guilt. He took our shame. That's included in the Christ crucified. You know, but are we like falling asleep in the light? You know, is there a crust coming over our hearts to where, you know, we're kind of like the world, well, to each his own. You know, like, you want to do that, go ahead, that's fine. It doesn't bother me. It doesn't irritate you in your spirit. And I think the more that you lay hold of the Lord and this message of Christ and crucified, the more you're going to see, you know, the urgency of how the Lord wants to reach this planet. I mean, I look at my own family and I see how we need the Lord. We need this message in our family. We need this message in our homes and in our communities. We need Christ and Him crucified, you know, like, but like I said, there's no guilt here. Please don't misunderstand what I'm saying. Don't, like, if you feel like, well, you know, I got to try to work up a little bit of irritation because the world is so far out of control. No, don't do that. Just go for the Lord. Because when the Holy Spirit is, like, your hope, and when all you see is Christ, and when you walk in the Spirit of God, He'll stir your spirit up. You know, if we don't see the idolatry in our own lives and the church and the world, like, don't be condemned by that. Go for the Lord. That's the idea here. When Paul was provoked in the spirit, I know he went to the Lord. I know, you know, another translation, I believe it's the Amplified Version, when he was provoked in his spirit, he was grieved. And that's kind of like a little light into where his heart was at when he saw the idolatry in Athens, and, you know, like, it's the big to-do, you know, the big hub of the world there, you know, with everything, you know, all the new stuff and all that. But his heart was grieved. And we know that as a believer, we can grieve the Holy Spirit, you know, and so, but that doesn't mean he's mad at you. That doesn't mean that you're not forgiven. That doesn't mean that, you know, we have no condemnation. We are completely 100% forgiven. But our spirits can be grieved with the things that grieve the heart of the Holy Spirit. But, you know, this is kind of an evidence of how far we've drifted from the message of Christ and Him crucified in the American church. You know, so Mars Hill, like Athens, the hub of all this hubbub in the world, right? Acts 17:18. Just to save time, I didn't put the whole thing in here, but then certain Epicurean and Stoic philosophers encountered Paul, and some said, "What does this babbler want to say? Because he, Paul, preached to them Jesus and the resurrection." See, Paul was in the middle of this New York City type atmosphere saying, you need Jesus and Him crucified, His blood shed and raised from the dead. That's what he shared with these people in this town square. And, you know, they called him a babbler. And, like, if you look into that, right, like, if you read the whole story when you get home today, if you're inclined to, but it's a really amazing. There's a lot in there. I'm just touching on it briefly here. But in Acts 17, chapter 16, and verse 16 through 21, the Amplified Version, when you read that, it said in Acts 17:18, when they called him a babbler, what does this babbler want to say to us? The Amplified Bible says, what does this, what is this babbler with his scrap heap learning trying to say? And then they call Paul a babbler. The Kenneth Weeks translation, which is the expanded English translation, says, what would he desire to be saying, granted he was able to say anything? This ignorant plagiarist picking up scraps of information here and there, unrelated to his own thinking, and passing them off as a result of his own mature thought. You know, when you preach Christ and Him crucified, people say, yeah, we've heard that. Come on, pull something new out. You know, get something that we can really sink our teeth into. Well, if you can't sink your teeth and your heart into that, then you're missing the point. You know, it's by the grace of God you can receive this simple message and embrace Christ and Him crucified. You know, when we share these things, we're not just going around with some Christian talking points that we've heard other teachers say. Because like we shared, if you see Christ and Him crucified, if you know Him as your Lord, you didn't get that from a man. The Holy Spirit opened up the eyes of your heart to see that. You don't learn it from a man. You learn it from the Holy Spirit, and He teaches you that. So, you know, like, the power of God unto salvation is the message. This is the message. And, you know, like, by the grace of God, if you can receive this message in a fresh way, instead of like, come on, just give us something different. You know, that's what the world's saying. Like, you're the church, come on, come up with something, you know, fun, something exciting, something like, you know, that dazzle us with something. And that's what was happening in Athens in Paul's day. You know, in the passage, if you read it later, you'll see that all they did all day long in that city was sit around and try to say something new or come up with something new. Well, brothers and sisters, I'm telling you, there's nothing new. It's the same message, Christ and Him crucified. It'll be that message to the day you breathe your last breath. And it'll be that message throughout all of eternity. But, you know, if by the grace of God you can receive it and place the value on this message that this message deserves, if a light shines around you in your life and you're knocked off your high horse, if your direction is changed by the Lord Jesus, and you look to Him and you say, who are you, Lord? I want to know you more, just like Paul did. This is the message. It's Christ and Him crucified. He can take you from who are you, Lord, to you're my Lord. And that's the purpose of the message, is to redeem mankind. It's the power of God unto salvation. Acts 17:21, so for all the Athenians and the foreigners who were there spent their time in nothing else but either to tell or to hear something new. It sounds like the church in America today, to me. It sounds like America itself, in a way. And they even had an altar, everybody knows this, but they had an altar to the unknown God. And the boldness of Paul, he says, therefore, this is Acts 17:23b, therefore, the one whom you worship without knowing Him, I proclaim to you. I mean, I was looking at this, I'm saying, hey, you know, how many people come to church and they worship an unknown God in America, in our church? He's not known by the believers. They act just like the world. Like they're shaking in their boots because Donald Trump got the election stolen from them. You know, I mean, whatever it might be. You know what I'm saying? Like everybody's falling apart because our political system is crumbling and we're starting to see the ugliness of who they really are. You know? And I think in a lot of ways we worship an unknown God. I know I have. You know, I know Jesus a little. I want to know Him more. And that's the point. So, they, in Acts 17:24, then they mocked the resurrection from the dead. They made fun of that. Like, what? Come on. That's no big deal. We know that. Don't even start with that. But you know what? The resurrection from the dead is the resurrection power of the risen Lord Jesus Christ. And it's the same Spirit that dwells within us today. The God who created the universe, if you read this passage in the book of Acts, Paul goes on And he just sets it all right out there. There's one race. There's one blood that all men came from. There's not a bunch of race. All this confusion in the public square today, it's all set straight by Christ and Him crucified. It's all in there. You know, as you study Christ, as you seek Christ, as you learn to make Him Lord, and He is Lord, whether we make Him Lord or not. He is Lord. But when you can say with a faith that shines up at the sun when it shines back down at you, "You're my God." And then you hear that voice that comes from heaven, "This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased." I receive that from the Lord. We are His children. When He sees us just like He sees His Son. The Bible says that we're holy and blameless and above reproach in His sight. Like, I don't feel that, but it's not about how I feel. It's the truth, and the Holy Spirit has given me a heart to embrace that truth by faith. It's all His doing. It's all His teaching. It's not man. There's nobody that would come up with this. I just say, I check my own heart. I want to be aware of a hard attitude that's like, give me something, you know, a little new. Something that, you know, kind of make me excited about the Lord again. Like, if this don't make you excited about the Lord, like, pray and go toward Him. Open your Bible and say, "Lord, give me some fresh eyes to see You again. Because something's not happening here." You know? But, I mean, like, it's so easy to say, same message every week. Same message we need every week. Same message we need every moment of every day is Christ and Him crucified. You know, this message is not an old hat. This message is the salvation of our souls. 1 Corinthians 1:18, "For the message of the cross is foolishness to them that are perishing." And like, I think that if you think about that, like, how many believers are withering on the vine? They're perishing. 1 Corinthians 1:18, "For the message of the cross is foolishness to those that are perishing. But to us who are being saved, it is the power of God." This message is the power of God. This ain't Xanax. This ain't something that you can get and take. This is open eyes, open heart, by the grace of God, by the Holy Spirit of an invisible God. In Him we live and move and have our being. 1 Corinthians 1:23, "For we preach Christ crucified." 1 Corinthians 2:2, "For I determined to know nothing among you except Christ and Him crucified." As you go through the book of Acts, you'll see how Paul shared Christ here and shared Christ there. And now later he's writing to the Corinthians. And it's like, when I came to you guys, all I did was say, "Hey, Jesus Christ died for your sins." That's what he said. And Paul said, "That's all I'm going to talk about. That's all I'm going to bring." Because that is a vast ocean of a lifelong study of a wonderful, amazing God that has, by His grace, sent His Son to forgive us and to make us part of who He is. And you know, the word fellowship is really an amazing, we throw words like that around, it's like Christianese fellowship. You know, we're called into the fellowship of the Lord Jesus Christ. And if you study that word, the essence of that word is you're joined with Him. You're a partner with Him. You're part of the work that He wants to do in this world. But it has to be Him doing the work. You know, if you look at Samson's life, Samson knew he was called, right? But he was going to do it for God. And his whole life was a disaster, except for the times when his eyes were on the Lord Jesus Christ. When his eyes were Christ, it's got to be you. You died for me. You're the one that has to do the work because I can't. And then when Samson got that way, the Lord did amazing things. When the church gets that way, people are going to come to Christ. Buildings are going to be full. A revival's going to happen. When Christ and Him crucified is at the heart the ministry of every believer. And we see Jesus as all we need. It's not a tired message. This is the message of real life. You really want to live a life? This is life. There's nothing else. We've tried it. I've tried everything. You know, like I've screwed up, I've messed up, I've destroyed my life in so many times, but the Lord picked me up from the trash heap. And like, I know, like we feel like we're spinning on a wheel, but we're in the potter's hands. And when he finds a mar in us, you know what he does? He doesn't say, I'm getting rid of this piece of trash. He takes that mar out, and he folds it back up, and then he starts again. That's newness of life. That's our God. He's not going to throw us out and say, hey, you know, like, this message ain't to make anybody feel guilty. You know, this message is to say, let's know him. Let's follow the Lord Jesus and him crucified. I almost lost my place here, but I hope I can find it. I might have left the page. Oh, here it is. Okay. All right. So the next point. That was the first point in the outline. So what time is it? Okay, we got a minute. All right. I'm going to just go to this really quick. Okay? Because I really believe this is the heart of the Lord for us and for me. Okay? So Galatians 2:20, we talked about it the last time I was able to share it by the grace of God. I thought that was cool. I am crucified with Christ. It is I who no longer live. But Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. That's the Apostle Paul's message. That puts more color into Christ and him crucified. It shows us the purpose of the message. This is where the strength of the message is. It's not just head knowledge. It's reality. The maker of the universe came to dwell in us. He lives in us right now by faith. And you trust him for that, and you'll see the amazing work he'll do. You'll see the new life that he'll give. He'll see the hope of the future that he will show you and bring you to a place where he can reach through you and touch people around you so that they can give God the glory to his name. Jesus deserves this. He deserves for us to value this message, to embrace this message, to never have a heart of like complacency that like, you know, we've heard this before. Let me read this verse again and let it go through your hearts, because I'll tell you a little story about this verse for my life. This ain't about me, but it's about Jesus. But I was in ADAC, Alaska. That's where Tammy and I met, by the way. Some of you know that. But I was sitting on a bus waiting to go to work. And, you know, the bus was getting loaded up. And I was going from one place. And this place is called the Birthplace of the Wind. So it's really a crazy place, you know. Little island on the Aleutian Chain. And I went there in the military. So, as a testimony, I had this little... The military used to give you these little green memo books. And you were supposed to learn how to write things down in it all the time. So I used mine to write scripture down. And this is one of the verses that I wrote down in my little book. I'm still writing it down. But, you know, I didn't receive it like I know it now. You know, who are you, Lord, was my heart back then. I want to know you, but who are you? Now, my Lord. Now, Jesus. My, but this verse, let this verse go through your heart. Holy Spirit, open our hearts to receive it. I am crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me, and the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. I receive that, you know, and it's just such an amazing thing that the Holy Spirit, that's what God sent us, is the Holy Spirit dwells in us. It's not a feeling. It's not some essence, some power. It's a person. It's the Holy Spirit of God, the third person of the Trinity, actually made us alive in Him. It's true. And you know, this is what, there was this missionary in China, and his name's Hudson Taylor. And I don't know if you guys ever heard of Hudson Taylor, but Hudson Taylor was ministering in China and just like totally falling apart. It was a disaster. His life was really hard. Like he would get in a boat and go up a river and worms would get, I mean, he had a hard time. Like if you read the story, the testimony is amazing, right? And one day the Lord Jesus dawned this verse on his heart. This is the exchanged life. My life for his. It's no longer my life. It's no longer I who live, but the Lord wants to reach through Ken to minister to a world that He shed His blood for. He wants to reach through you to minister to a world that He shed His blood for. He's the teacher. He's the doer. We're just the vessels that He's fashioned with His own hands. And you know, I referred to the date today. You know, this is a moment in time, and Scripture teaches us in the book Psalm 139, amazing psalm. There's so much reality in that psalm, it's just a mind blower. But this moment, right this moment, this day, the Lord Jesus saw. From before He created the world, He saw you sitting here and hearing these words of Christ and Him crucified. That's an amazing God. He's way more than we think. He's way more than we can know. So, this is the exchange life. And, you know, I have another thing. I think the Lord showed me real quick. There's these brothers, brother and sister, Aquila and Priscilla. And Paul met up with them. They all got kicked out of Rome. And they were Jews. And they happened to be in the same trade as Paul. They were tent makers, like house builders, right? And it doesn't really say in the account in the book of Acts, but Aquila and Priscilla, they must have came to Christ through the ministry of Paul. The Lord brought them to Himself through Paul. And they really got it. These guys really got it. Because there was this other guy, if you keep reading down through the book of Acts there, another brother named Apollos, who was an eloquent and very excellent speaker and just knew the Scriptures, and you know, and he taught the Word of God accurately. That's what the Bible says, right? But Aquila and Priscilla came alongside Apollos, and they taught him the way of God more accurately. And it doesn't say this word for word, but I believe the Holy Spirit showed me this. They taught him the exchange life. I think they shared the reality of Christ in you, the hope of glory. It is no longer you, Apollos, who lives, but Christ lives in you. It is, see, and then you keep going down through the book of Acts there, and John, you know, John the Baptist had followers, he had disciples, and they were, you know, believers. They wanted to know the Lord Jesus, you know. But Paul came up to them a couple verses later, and he says, have you received the Holy Spirit? And, you know, there's so many teachings on these verses, and I believe they're inaccurate in a lot of ways, because I think receiving the Holy Spirit is becoming aware. Because if you're a believer, you have the Holy Spirit. God is not divided up into all these different things. And then this weird power is going to come on you and you're going to speak in tongues and all this stuff's going to happen. You see, I think if you study that and you lay it with all the other scriptures, I believe what happened when Paul said, have you received the Holy Spirit? Paul made them aware of the reality of Christ in you, the hope of glory. That's the end goal of the message of Christ and Him crucified. It's Christ in you, the hope of glory. So, I'm going to read to you the first verse I read again, but I'm going to read it out of the expanded English translation, which I think is really awesome, right? Lydia, a seller of purple fabrics from the city of Thyatira, who worshiped God, who was listening whose heart the Lord opened wide. I like that. So that she kept her mind concentrated on the things which were spoken by Paul. I think that really kind of expands the thought of God opening Lydia's heart. If you don't mind, I'm going to read it again so you can just like take it in. Lydia, a seller of purple fabrics from the city of Thyatira, who worshiped God, was listening, whose heart the Lord had opened wide, so that she kept her mind concentrated on the things which were spoken by Paul. So, the New King James Version uses the word she needed, but I like the way it's expanded. She kept her mind focused on the Lord. And that's exactly what, I don't know, like everybody argues about who wrote Hebrews. I think it was Paul, but who cares? But the Holy Spirit gave it to us, thank God, right? But in Hebrews, Paul says in chapter 12, he calls Jesus the author and the perfecter of our faith. Some translations use the word originator and finisher, or vice versa. So, you know, that it says, fix your eyes on that person, not on a man, not on your spouse, not on somebody you're hoping is going to help you with something, or a president, or a world leader, or whatever. You know, fix your eyes on Christ and Him crucified. That's what He's the originator and the perfecter. He is the teacher and the doer of all, anything that matters in spiritual matters. It's the Lord Jesus Christ. Revelation chapter 3 and verse 7, I'm going to close with this. These things says He who is holy, He who is true, He who has the key of David, He who opens and no one shuts, and shuts and no one opens. I know your works. See, I have set before you an open door that no one can shut. Christ and Him crucified in parentheses. I have set before you an open door that no one can shut. For you have little strength. And that's a reference to you see yourself as not really being, you know, God can't use me. You know, kind of thing. They really esteem themselves as it's not happening. Right? But the Lord says, you have kept my word. You've kept this word, Christ and Him crucified, and you have not denied my name. The Lord is the one who opens. And if the Lord, like He did with Lydia, if He opened your heart today for a fresh vision of this message of Christ and Him crucified, for a hunger, for taking from I want to know You, who are You, Lord, to my Lord, in an intimate and a deep way, that's what the Lord wants. So, thank you, Lord. We just thank You for this time, and I just thank You for this wonderful group of believers. Lord, we're just so grateful that in this shaking, spinning, terrible situation in this world we're in, that You are our hope. Lord, that You open. And Lord, as Your word says there, Satan can't shut this because You won't let it. Lord, thank You for opening our hearts. We're going to trust You for that. And we thank You for this wonderful message of Christ and the crucified. And we thank You that You demonstrated Your power in this world by rising from the dead, by giving Your life a ransom for many, and bringing us and calling us sons and daughters of the Most High God. Lord, we are Your precious treasure. We're Your jewels. And Lord, we want You to have the glory through Your name. We give You all the honor and all the praise in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Sorry for going so long. I could have went longer, but I got some pages out of there, so.